to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 2nd, 2017, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
This morning we continue the saga of Abraham and his family. We heard over the last couple Sundays how Abraham and Sarah prayed for a child, and a promise was given to Sarah after menopause that she would have a child. They waited 25 more years and their miracle baby Isaac was born. And then God said to Abraham, "Take your son and kill him." I tried to imagine, as I was thinking about this story, Abraham going to the tent and explaining to Sarah where he and Isaac were going. I don't imagine that that conversation went very well, do you? I can imagine that Sarah had some choice words, both for Abraham and for God. "You're going to take my son, our miracle child, and you're going to go where and do what?" It's interesting to note that we never have again in the Bible a recorded conversation between Abraham and Sarah. I don't know what that means. We don't know the rest of the story, but it is possible that she did not take this well. Abraham, on the other hand, is obedient. God commands him, and he goes. He has pledged his faith to God. And now this God, whom he has come to know and to worship and to trust, and remember, he had no family experience. You know, a lot of us grow up in the church. We receive the faith that our parents handed on to us, that our grandparents handed on to us. I actually believe there are great-grandchildren here this morning with their great-grandparents. Is that right? This faith is passed on for most of us through this wonderful family connection. But Abraham had none of it. He was the first. He was called by God in Ur as the first and the founder of a new people. So how remarkable that his faith is so strong. Strong enough to trust that God knows what God is doing, even though it seems monstrous. I think Sarah would have had a different answer for God, don't you? I think Sarah would have said to God, "You know, it's been great, God, all this time, but now why don't you go jump in a lake?" And I think that might be what some of us, or most of us, might say as well. If God commanded us to sacrifice our only child, how many of us would follow through? This is a challenging kind of faith, a challenging kind of commitment. I was reading an article recently about, lots of articles about the decline of churches and overall, not just in the Episcopal Church, but all churches, participation is down. They were saying, what are the reasons for this? One of the reasons, this guy said, is we have made church and faith and God too comfortable. We've sort of sanitized and tamed this God. Annie Dillard, the novelist, once wrote that if we really understood what we were getting into when we worship the living God, we would come to church wearing crash helmets and we would lash ourselves to the pews because we're coming into the presence of the living God. Wow. I don't think we often imagine that. I think we look to church and to God and to faith for comfort. We think about comfortable things. We say comfortable words. In the old 28 prayer book and in Rite 1, right before communion, we say the comfortable words. I love that. It's so Episcopalian. The comfortable words. We like that comfort. But there's also in the Bible, in the stories of this living, powerful, awesome, and sometimes mysterious and terrifying God, challenge as well. all or nothing, life and death challenges like Abraham faced. Abraham went to the sacrifice not knowing what was going to happen, and yet he had faith that God would provide. And I wonder if his voice shook a little bit when Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And he said to Isaac, "God will provide." And in his mind, he was saying, "God, you better provide. You better provide." To me, this story encapsulates part of the wonder and terror of faith for us as well. Because we walk in the footsteps of Abraham, the father of all faith, the founder of faith for the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, the ancestor of our faith. We face the same dilemmas, the same God who demands from us. You know, if I were to give you a stewardship sermon now and to tell you, you know, ask you a little quiz, a little pop quiz on stewardship, what is the percentage that Christians are supposed to give back to the church? You would tell me
10%.
That's complete rubbish, okay? 10% is way too low. What God wants is 100%. That's the message of this story of Abraham and Isaac. God doesn't want 10% of your life. God wants it all. God wants complete and total commitment. And that is terrifying, because that takes us to places we don't know where we're going, to sacrifices we're not sure if we're able or willing to make. God wants all of our lives, every last bit, our money, our time, our energy, our skills, our gifts, our families, everything, every last bit of it. That's the bad news. The good news of this story is that in the midst and through that commitment, God does provide. God provided a ram for Abraham and Isaac. God provided life for them, life for us, this beautiful earth and everything in it, our relationships and families, the skills and gifts that we have been blessed with, the time to do the things that we're called to do. God provides everything we need and more. God provides even more than that, because when we do offer ourselves, when we give our 100% or whatever percentage we on a sliding scale seem able day to day to do, some days I feel like I'm really not giving much at all. Other days, I feel like I have nothing left, right? When we do give, God takes that gift and blesses it and multiplies it and gives it back to us. That's what it means for God to provide. What we give, God takes and always gives back to us in ways that we don't always understand or imagine. When we hold back, that's when God has trouble blessing us. But when we offer ourselves, we are truly transformed and blessed. The story of Abraham and Isaac points us ahead to another story of another father and another son and another sacrifice. A young man who carried wood to his sacrifice as well, in the shape of a cross. A son who was offered by his father for the life of the world, crucified for our salvation so that we might have life and have it abundantly. God did not in the end require Abraham to sacrifice his son, but God was willing to sacrifice his own son for Abraham and for us and uncounted multitudes. The God who provides provided for us the means of our salvation so that we might be enabled to live more fully, more generously, more abundantly, and allow God to transform our lives in the pattern of His great love. So I encourage us to think this week about the ways in which God has and continues to provide for us. The ways in which God calls us to give of ourselves, not to empty us, but so that God might fill us anew with more joy, with more love, with more life, with the abundance of the gift that He continues to pour upon us. Amen.